Psalm 91 this evening. Psalm 91, and let's go ahead and if you could follow along with me as we read that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And then 14 through the end. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, we lift this time up to you. We lift this portion of your word up to you and ask that you would absolutely just reveal yourself to us in this time, that your spirit would open our spiritual eyes, that we can see things that are of you. Lord, that we can look past the things that we know, the things that we experience, and that we can know and experience you this evening. Lord, I pray that no one in here would find it easy to not dwell in your secret place after we've spent time here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalm 91. We'll start with verse 1 this evening. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You guys like that? I'll read it one more time because I have to. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're going to spend our evening going through this psalm and specifically just taking time to find out what it means to dwell with God and to be protected by God. This verse is pretty clear in and of itself, but you know, to make it just that much clearer, it could also be said this way. He who truly relies on God will absolutely have His protection. And I'll say that again because I like that too. He who truly relies on God will absolutely have His protection. It's a promise. This is a promise for us all this evening. If you trust in God, you'll have His protection. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is really one of those if-then statements. It might not have those two words in there, but it's conditional. If you rely on God, you will know His protection. if you dwell in his secret place, then you'll abide under his shadow. Guys, I know this sounds so simple, but it's so true. You must find shelter in him in order to be sheltered by him. And so the if, the conditional part of it, it says, he who dwells. Not everyone dwells. Not every Christian dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And I want to be very clear about this. If you're a Christian, that is, if you've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross, if you've received that gift of salvation through Christ's work on the cross, then you can be absolutely sure that every one of your sins is forgiven. You can be sure that you're a child of God. You can be sure that you have access to his secret place. And those are things that are absolutely impossible outside of the cross. Those are things that weren't even imaginable under the Ten Commandments or under Moses' law. To be completely forgiven of all your sins, to be God's child, to have the promise of heaven, and to have access into the Holy of Holies. But practically, things can play out very differently. Day to day in our lives as Christians, we might not know the presence of God like we ought to. We might not be enjoying his love like we can, and we might not be accessing what has been granted to us. Just because the veil, that curtain that separates us from God's perfect presence, just because that's been torn, doesn't mean we've walked in. Just because the padlock has been busted and the door's been kicked down, doesn't mean you've gone inside and you've stayed there. So practically, the condition is he who dwells. And it's not enough to say, yes, I know God is a refuge. At least I hope it's not enough for you. I hope we can all get to that point. I hope we are getting to that point where we say, God is my refuge. It's not enough to just know that he is a shelter, that he is a hiding place. We want to get to the point where we say, he's my shelter and he's my hiding place. And again, I say it, you must find shelter in him in order to be sheltered by him. So God's call to us this evening is very clear. He calls you, he calls me, and he says, trust in me. Trust in me. Find shelter in me. Lean on me. Cry out to me. There's a song that was written probably right around 1970, at least it was recorded then, by James Taylor. I don't know if you guys listen to James Taylor at all, but I particularly like this song a lot. But of course, I'm going to use it as an example of what not to do, but oh well. The song goes like this. There's a song, this is just the lyric in this song. There's a song that they sing when they take to the highway, a song that they sing when they take to the sea. There's a song that they sing of their home in the sky, and maybe you can believe it if it helps you to sleep, but singing works just fine for me. He says there's a song that they sing of their home in the sky, and you can believe it if it helps you to sleep, but singing works just fine for me. I love the melody. I love his voice in that. But the bottom line is, singing better not just be fine for us. Reading these verses tonight, no matter what feelings they give us, they can't be enough. They can't be fine for us. I've never really understood those that that smile at Christianity and they love hymns and they have their favorite scriptures, but they never care to get things straight with the God of Christianity. Have you met those people? I remember when I was younger and I first started playing guitar, and it bothered me so much. I would play something and, you know, it's a worshipful song, and so many people, "Oh, that's so cute," you know. "Well, do you believe in God?" "No, but that's just great." Well, you know, I just don't get that. It's not enough. Because true shelter, we have to be totally honest, true shelter has nothing to do with what feels good or looks good or seems good. True shelter has everything to do with what holds up in the end. Everything. And this shelter offered in Psalm 91 is very, very real and very, very solid, tried and true. This shelter offered to us by God is perfect. There are many belief systems, of course, in this world, and there are many worldviews, and most of them hold up at least to a certain point. Most, if not all of them, work at least to a certain point. And it's, I guess, easy for us in a sense to look at those that we know, our friends or people that we just see around, and to say, well, that seems to work for them, so, you know, how could I ever dare say that that's not right? Or how can I tell them that that religion is not the truth and there's only one way? And you hear that quite often, and it might be an easy thing for us to think, that works for them, so why would I interfere? But like I said, everything, every belief system holds up at least to a certain point, but it has everything to do with, will it hold up in the very end? Because we have to be honest, even if we think physically in this material world and we think of shelters, every shelter, even a cardboard box, will hold up to a certain point. But God's shelter works always, and it's perfect, and it protects us from all things. And that's what we want to consider tonight. I was thinking of just different forms of shelters and bunkers that are in this world, material shelters. And the truth of the matter is shelters are made for all sorts of things. It might be for a storm, you know, for a tornado. It might be some kind of a safe room where it's bulletproof. It might be a bomb shelter. All shelters are made to hold up for something, and those shelters might be guaranteed for certain things. Basically, what they do is they diagnose the threat, and they say, well, this is what a bomb could do, so we're going to make sure that we build something strong enough so that a bomb or whatever it might be, a tornado or whatever, cannot penetrate and cannot deteriorate the integrity of whatever that shelter is. And say the government does contract a certain company to build a bomb shelter. Now, because of the way things work in a capitalist system and all, yes, they do have warranties and guarantees, but in the end, all of that's kind of silly. Because if you make a bomb shelter and you say, well, I promise you if it doesn't work, you get your money back. What does that do? Because it has to work. Not working is not a choice. It has to hold up. Because if it doesn't, you're dead. That's the kind of shelter that we need as Christians. We need a shelter that's going to last. And it can't be a shelter that, oh, well, this works now, and we'll see how things go, but it has to be a shelter that's tried and true and that's going to last. And the bottom line is like I said, there's all kinds of shelters and bunkers made, but there's nothing that man can make that can protect us from everything and anything that this unpredictable world can throw at us. And not only that, there's nothing that man can make that can protect us from the judgment of God. When Jesus, in times like in Matthew 24, when he's talking with his disciples about the last days, do you guys remember that portion? And he says, when you see these things happening, when you see the abomination of desolation, get on your computer and Google tribulation bunker and find the best one you can. Armageddon shelter. And just buy the best one you can afford. No, he says run, because basically you're not safe. We need shelters as people. As people, we need a shelter in this world that's safe. Because we can plan ahead and we can try to foresee what might happen, but in the end we don't know, of course. And in the end, there's always the possibility that something's going to happen that we never planned for, never imagined. And at that point is an awful time to be thinking about where we can find a shelter. At that point would be a wonderful time to already have your shelter, to already be finding shelter in God. As Christians, we really shouldn't be in the place where God is kind of a last-ditch effort. Yes, I know God is there if I need Him. And really, we're wandering further and further away from His shelter, and we're just saying, okay, you know, I have these things I'm going to trust in to a certain extent, and then if things get real bad, I'm going to run to God. We can't do that. We shouldn't do that, and it's not to our benefit to do that. And hopefully we'll see that as we continue to just let this psalm kind of filter its way through us. The shelter of God is always available to us. And that analogy of a storm shelter or whatever it is works to a certain extent, but we can't picture it like, okay, when things get bad, that's when I'll run to Him. The fact of the matter remains that it often is those storms that cause us to seek shelter in Him. But as Christians, we need to find ourselves constantly dwelling in Him. And you know what? Maybe it's a surprise to you, or maybe you just haven't realized that that secret place, verse 1 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Maybe you've never really realized that you don't, when you get in your car in the morning, when you drive further away from home, towards work, whatever it may be, you don't have to be driving away from the secret place of the Most High. God goes with us. When we dwell with Him and we're near to Him and we find security in Him, it's not like after we spend that time with God that we say, okay, God, I'm leaving your shelter now and I'm going to see how things go. But, you know, I'll be back tomorrow morning or whatever it is. We need to find shelter in Him all the time. And even as we go out into this world, and this psalm is very honest about what is in this world and the things that, just the danger. But as Christians, we can. I don't even want to say we should at this point. I just want to say, guys, we can stay in that place. We can continue in that place where God is everything to us, where He is our security, where He is who and what we run to. And I know, well, a normal question might be why? Why would I need God's shelter all the time? For two very simple reasons. Number one, as I mentioned, we can never predict or never really plan for what is going to happen. There are all kind of dangers out there. And we don't know. There are all kind of unknowns out there. But the other reason is, that's presented to us in this psalm, is that His refuge, that shelter, is where we find our strength. That's where we get our victory, is being sheltered by Him. I'm going to read you a verse out of Isaiah chapter 30. This is a portion of verse 15. The Lord says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You guys know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not just that the shelter protects us from harm, but it's there that we find our strength. It's there that we can face the battle. It's there that we can find victory for the battle. And I want to look at some of these different things. I mean, look at the strength and the victory that God offers us. In verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. This is, again, not about just running to something when you need it. This is about dwelling there. He who dwells there. It's not about just acknowledging Him. It's not enough to say, well, I paid at the office. But it's about abiding and dwelling in Him. Remember, Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. To abide means to dwell, to make your home there. And that's what God is calling us to tonight. He's saying, I have shelter, but He's saying, don't just come there when it gets stormy, but make your home where my shelter is. Rely on me constantly and in everything, and you'll know my protection at all times and in everything. And look with me at verses 3 through 6. Look at the things that God provides us shelter from. Surely He shall deliver you. Pestilence. Verse 5, the terror, the arrow that flies by the day. Verse 6, again, pestilence and then destruction. That's the kind of shelter that God offers, is from all these things. I love just those words there at the beginning of verse 5. What does it say? You shall not be afraid of the terror. That's beautiful. You will not be afraid of terror. I can think of just handfuls of applications right now in this world we live in where terror is real. And God says, I'll protect you so that you won't be afraid of the terror. I don't even know what to say beyond that. That is just so perfect the way that it's stated. And look at all the victory in verses 7 through 13. The victory that God wants to give. As a human being, as a pastor, I can't really say it any more plainly than just that we need a whole lot more victory. A lot more victory. I'm personally tired of defeat. And I hope you are too. Because that's where it starts. This world is full of dangers, pestilence, the arrows, the terror. And it's so easy to get to the place where you see the storms coming and you just go, okay, here I go again. You know what? God wants you to have victory. God wants you to have victory. And He wants us to trust in Him for that victory. I look at things in verses 10 through 13, and you look, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you. He will give His angels charge over you. Then down a little bit more. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Basically, guys, what that means to us is that He offers protection, and it's supernatural protection. It's beyond the safety and shelter and protection that we can imagine, that we might expect, that we might try to shore up for ourselves. It's supernatural. Which means that when those things come against us, our first thought naturally might be, I'm not safe. I can't do it. There's no victory here. Because the deliverance and the salvation is supernatural. And we have to trust in Him for it. I want to backtrack just a little bit and look at verses 7 through 8. And really, just to kind of point it out to you guys, most of this psalm after verse 1 is an elaboration of what we have in verse 1. This whole psalm is about finding shelter in Him. And what we have in these verses up until, what is it, verse 14, before that, we have many ways that God is going to deliver us. Examples of how He wants to be our shelter. Examples of ways He wants to protect and to deliver us. In verses 7 through 8, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. These verses, as do the rest of the psalm, they remind us that, yes, we do, of course, still live in this world. We find shelter in God, but we are going to hear and see things outside of that shelter that could absolutely bring terror. We're going to see things in this world that are difficult. We're going to go through things in this world that are very difficult, yet God gives us a promise. What does He say? 1,000 may fall at your side, but it will not come near you. What does this mean? Does it mean that if you're a Christian or if you find shelter in God that nothing bad is going to happen to you? That you'll stay healthy? That your family will stay healthy and everything will go well? Does it mean that? Does it mean that? What does it mean then? It means that you're God's and that He will protect you. That He carries you in the palm of His hand and that He will bring you home safely. It means that He has your very best interests in mind. It means that He will use the difficult things that do happen to make you stronger. I was just talking yesterday with a really close couple friends of mine. The guy, he's been a pastor for, gosh, I guess since I was early teens, and I got to know him and actually spent some time with his family in my teens because they helped me out a lot, and they mean a tremendous amount to me. And I found out that that the woman in the family, his wife, has breast cancer, just found out recently, and it's invasive and it's not looking good, and that's on top of several other things that are just not going well in their lives. And I called and I finally was able to get a hold of them because I just wanted to let them know how much I love them and that I'm praying for them and just see how they're holding up. And it was somber to talk to them. No doubt they're struggling right now, but it was interesting. I talked to the guy, the husband, and he kind of put it this way as we were talking, and he just goes, well, there's no doubt in the world right now that we're on one heck of a ride. We're on a pretty crazy roller coaster right now because there's a whole lot of ups and downs. He's all, but you know what? We're in the front row too. For some reason, God's got us in the front row. And we're seeing everything so close. But he said, you know what? There's just so many times where we have this peace that we almost feel bad that we have it. Because things are difficult upon difficult, and more things are happening that I didn't mention, but it was just so encouraging to me, because to me that was the personification of what we're talking about here. You'll see a whole lot of things happen, and things happen in this life, and God oftentimes gives you a front row seat, and you go, God, this is too close. It's way too personal. It's way too real. It's way too painful. And yet God the whole time holds you in His hand. And you the whole time are far safer than you know. It says in verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. I think we look at the reward of the wicked as just seeing those people that get away with everything. And we think, you know, gosh, it seems like they have no conscience at all, and yet everything works out for them, and just hate it, you know, because we're so short-sighted. We don't see what their end is. The reward of the wicked in this verse is God's judgment. God's judgment upon the wicked. And though the believer may see it upon people, the believer will not experience it. You know, one thing that I'm reminded of more and more these days, and my wife makes sure I'm very clear about it, and that's that I'm just getting old. And I'm getting, if my later teen years self could have seen me right now, oh man, I'd have made fun of me. I'm getting old. And I find myself constantly telling my kids, you know, don't do that. Don't sit on the chair like that. All these things that not even just my parents told me, but my grandma would tell me. And here I am telling my kids that. Don't do that. Why? Always why, right? Because it'll hurt if you fall. Well, you know what? Our kids aren't that quick to believe us sometimes because they don't see the immediate consequences. No, you've had too much candy. No, I haven't. You know, if you keep doing that, you know, put on some shoes or something if you're going to do that, you know? If you keep doing that, it'll hurt. No, it won't. And you know what? Spiritually, we're just as short-sighted. It's interesting. There's this cycle of life that I'm beginning to see, and it kind of goes like this. When you're born as a baby, you know nothing. Babies have to learn things. There are, of course, certain things that are known by nature and all, but babies don't know how things work. We start off at zero knowing nothing. And then we spend a certain amount of our childhood learning things and being forced to kind of do things our parents' way, you know? And then I'd say about 15 years or so after we knew nothing, we go to knowing everything. And we're absolutely sure of it. And then the years come where we get to prove to our parents that we know everything and that they were just simply holding us back all those years. And then we get to the point where we finally acknowledge, okay, I didn't know as much as I thought I did. And I think the wiser we are, we're willing to admit, okay, I don't know anything anymore. And then God does this crazy thing and puts us in this place where we just have to tell our kids, don't do things like we did. Just trust us. Just trust us. It's interesting. We tell our kids not to do certain things because we tell them we're looking out for their best interests, and they don't. It's amazing that, you know, a 4 and 7-year-old can be that convinced that I'm against them, but they are. And the same thing with the Lord. We get to a certain age, and it's just so interesting with people take their intelligence and they just think, well, why isn't God this way? And why is God that way? And why don't things work that way? And we forget that however many years ago, we knew nothing. And God's been around for eternity. And God says, I'm looking out for your best interest, and I am taking care of you. And then we get to the beautiful point in verse 14 where the Lord Himself begins to speak. I don't know if you guys noticed that change in tense there, but instead of talking about the person from the psalmist's perspective, all of a sudden it's as if God Himself is speaking. And in verse 14 on, "Because He has set His love upon me," God says, "therefore I will deliver him." These are beautiful things when we get to hear God's word directly from His mouth. "I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him." That reminds me of Jeremiah 33:3, which says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Being under God's wings gives us a totally different perspective. God says, "Call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you the things you don't see." You're so convinced of what your situation is right now, he might say. And I know he could say that to most of us most of the time. You're so convinced and you know exactly how to define yourself and your situation. And not only that, but you know exactly what you need and you know what the dollar amount is that would get you out of this trouble. But call to me and I'll show you what you don't see. I'll show you that the way you're defining your problem right now is upside down. I'll show you that your problem is deeper or your problem is different than what you think it is, and your way out is different. And then God says in verse 16, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's a beautiful verse. But again, we're completely missing the point if we think that this buys us a few years here on earth. Long life, you might say. God says here, "With long life I will satisfy you." And you could very easily say, "But what about such and such a person who died young or whatever it might be?" You know what? You're absolutely right. I was just watching that movie the other day, The End of the Spirit. Did you guys see that one? About Jim Elliot and those guys that went on into... what country did they go into? I'm drawing a blank right now. Down there in Central America. I forget, but they went in. They wanted to minister to these tribal people that were very violent and they got killed. You guys should see the movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's a good movie. But anyways, there's a perfect example. They didn't live a long life. I don't get it. And so you cry out to God and you say, "God, how long is my life going to be?" And God says, "Well, is eternity long enough?" As we close, I want to stress a couple of things to all of you guys here. I just want to emphasize, and I just pray with all my heart that you see as you read this psalm, that you see God with His arms wide open to you, that you see Him inviting you to be near to Him and to be near to Him always and to experience that safety and that peace and that joy. And in a very strong sense, I feel like God is saying to us tonight, "Am I enough?" We say, "God, but how long of a life am I going to live, really?" And again, God says, "Well, is eternity all right? God, how do I know you really love me? Well, is the cross good enough? God, how safe will I really be? Is completely safe? Safe enough? God, I feel so alone. Is my presence enough?" I'm going to read two verses, one's from Hebrews and one's from the Psalms, but I think they fit so perfectly together. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And if you guys haven't figured it out already, God's shelter, finding shelter in God, has an awful lot to do with trusting Him. And I know your reaction to me this evening could very well be, you know, if you're really asking me to trust in God all the time, that's just way ahead of where I'm at. 100% trust in God, finding shelter in Him all the time. I'm just not there. I've only been, you know, you might be saying, I've only been a Christian for a certain amount of time, or there's just ways I do things and they work, and so on and so forth. And if you're saying that to me right now, then all I have to say is, then you're misunderstanding where I'm coming from. Because I'm not trying to talk you into finding shelter in God. All I'm trying to do, as I look around in this world, and as I see the storms, and as I see the danger, and as I see the sign of the last days, all I'm trying to do is grab your wrist and pull you into shelter. That's it. And it doesn't take a lifetime of thinking things through to decide whether you want to get in that shelter or not. It's not some deep spiritual doctrinal thing. It's, do you see the danger? Because we all have eyes. We've all lived in this world long enough. I don't think I have to plead with you. All I hope I have to do is say, look, there is shelter. Look, God is offering it. I'm going to invite Greg, wherever he is at. Greg, oh, he's way back there. Yes, it does have a lot to do with trust. And I just want to put it out there to you guys as personal and as individual as I can, because God says, trust in me. Find shelter in me so that I can shelter you. Trust in me, lean on me, rely on me so that I can protect you. And as I said earlier, there's just too much defeat right now in this world and in the body of Christ. We need victory. And whatever that means, whether that means you finding a prayer partner afterwards and talking to them, whether it means you on your face before God confessing your sins, crying out to Him, whatever that means, don't put up with the defeat anymore. Holding back is defeat. Finding shelter in Him is the victory. And that's where He can start giving victory through you. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We lift up your name.